Sometimes I have some difficulty in throwing off my teacher's hat. And so during my homily here this evening, you probably will hear a few test questions that may come out of this and your way. And so you might watch for those at key points in this homily. This past week, and in fact today, we began the liturgical season of Ordinary Time. Ordinary Time is a Sunday by Sunday journey with Jesus in his public ministry. Unlike the other seasons, the Christmas season, Lent, and Easter season, where we have major focuses upon Jesus' birth or upon the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, Ordinary Time is a time when we hear about his public life, his day-to-day experiences. So today's reading will inspire us, I think, to hear our calling from God and our response to that calling as it was sung in the Psalm 40 here this afternoon. Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. Today's reading is taken from the second of Isaiah's four servant songs. It was addressed to the Israelites in the Babylonian exile. Isaiah speaks of a servant who would one day unite the people of God. The servant would restore Israel and be a light to all nations, bringing God's salvation to all the world. It appears in this reading that Isaiah is identifying the servant as Israel. He said, "The Lord said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, whom I shall show my glory.'" Some scholars, however, surmise that Isaiah may have been speaking of himself as the servant, or maybe he is speaking of Israel, the nation, the people, as the servant, through whom the glory of God would be shown. But early Christians have understood the servant to be Jesus and his mission as the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. Jesus was Israel's restoration. Jesus is the light to all nations. The mission of the servant is to extend beyond Israel to all the nations, to bring salvation to all the world. Now let's imagine for a minute that Isaiah meant the "you are my servant" to be you and me. It is you who will show my glory, God's glory. Actually, that's not too far-fetched, because through baptism, we are anointed as members of Christ, priest, prophet, and king unto eternal life. As the lighted candle is presented, we pray that the newly baptized be enlightened by Christ to walk always as a person of the light and to persevere in faith to meet the Lord when he comes with all the saints in the heavenly court. Perhaps as we enter into a new year, a good question that we might ask each morning is this: what am I called to do today to show God's glory? Our second reading passage begins with Paul as he greets the Corinthians. Paul establishes his role of being an apostle of Christ. He reminds the Corinthians that they are sanctified and called to be holy, like all who are to follow Jesus. By virtue of their baptism into Christ Jesus, they became members of his universal body. As baptized people, they and we share in that vocation of serving as a light to the nations, with Jesus and as God's servant. The question you and I might reflect upon is this: in what ways have I been God's servant? God's light to my family, to my neighbors, to my fellow workers, to my classmates at school, and so on? Can I do even better? in showing the light of Christ in my community and in the people around me. In the gospel, as Jesus was coming toward John the Baptist, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then we heard John say, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain on him." The Jewish people understood the dove to be a sign of the Holy Spirit. Further on, John said, he was told, "On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." John calls Jesus the Lamb of God. Now, that was a very significant phrase for the Jewish people, because the title Lamb of God brought to mind the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb whose blood sprinkled on the doorpost protected their ancestors when the angel of death came to strike the Egyptians. The slain lamb was a sign and a symbol of their liberation from slavery and from oppression, their passage from bondage in the land of the Pharaohs to the freedom of the children of God in the land of Israel. It is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who liberates us from the slavery of sin and empowers us to journey to the promised land. The Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world, not just our individual sins, but the sinful condition of the world. Unfortunately, we still have violence. We still have hunger. We still have oppression and exploitation on a massive scale in our country and in our world. The word of the Lamb of God, the work of the Lamb of God, so that others may have life, is ongoing and it's never done. So the questions are these: are there ways that we contribute to the sins of the world? What can we do, even in small deeds, to assist the Lamb of God in alleviating these societal sins? How are we, you and me, called to help? Also, Jesus is referred to as the one on whom the Spirit descends and remains. Jesus gives that same Spirit to others, sacramentalized through baptism. This same Spirit that hovered over Jesus and was experienced by the apostles at Pentecost is the very same Spirit that we received in baptism. That Spirit also gives you and me the capability to heal, to forgive, to help in practical ways, to work for justice, and to show God's love to all. We can reflect deeply and at great length on the names and the descriptions of Jesus and our call to servanthood. As our Lord asked Peter in another part of the Gospels, "But you, who do you say I am?" Questions. Who is Jesus to us? How does that understanding impact the actions of our discipleship to the one we have pledged to follow? Today's readings challenge us to self-reflection and action. And as we proceed through ordinary time and through this new year, may we be mindful of who we are called to be, and then to work to enrich our lives and the lives of others. Let us respond to our call to discipleship with a firm, "Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will."